Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I don't know whether it's summer or if it's winter. I'm trying to decide.
Literally, you've had like almost all four seasons within like a week or so. It's weird.
That's right. I mean, it's 80 some days. Some days it's 40 degrees. This next week, it's going to be 46, 50 degrees. And yet this last week, we had 2 days with it, 80 and 84.
Wow. And this is only the beginning of February. I've never seen it. I mean, we don't even have, I would assume it's been a long time maybe, but Easter, you don't even have this kind of weather in Easter. It's just.
I know. I think the weather's confused.
Yes, clearly.
You know, I believe it's confusing. And, you know, the groundhog says we're going to have 6 or 7 more weeks of winter.
Are we?
And he's always right.
Yeah. It sounds like you've already got a little taste of summer.
Well, we do. And, you know, everybody's wearing shorts, and then the next day you may have to put on your woolens, you know? I mean, I don't understand it.
Yeah, at least it's variety. Maybe that's the way
we
to
do have a variety of weather.
Yeah.
The next day it may change, and the next day it may change after that. Who knows?
Boy, though, I mean, it's tough to plan for a day, especially with the children. You know, when it's that kind of extreme temperature changes. I mean, that's tough.
That's right, because you know they're going to go to school one day in shorts, the next day they may have to have sweaters and a coat. You just don't know.
Yeah. Golly, if this is happening already, I'd hate to see what happens, you know, when we actually get into spring where you have like the real temperature change. I mean, what's going to happen at that point? My goodness.
I don't know. I mean, and you know, usually at Easter, you know, it gets cold. And here we are going through this in February.
Yeah.
So it's a strange time. And I don't know what's wrong with the weather.
Yeah, everything's a little bit upside down. It is
upside down. So you just can't figure it out.
No. So it's. I mean, golly, what, Valentine's Day is still, I think it's next weekend.
It is Friday. Next week.
But it's just like.
The 14th. You know it's the 14th.
I wasn't really sure. But I knew it was coming up. And it's just like, my gosh, we have to almost prepare like it's Easter or, you know, even like May or it's the strangest thing, and it seems like we keep having these conversations, and it's like, oh, the weather is, you know, drastically weird, you know, some major freak snowstorm or some you know, bizarre extra dry long summer or things like that. It's getting harder. The norm is no longer the norm, I guess.
The normal is not normal, let's face it.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's kind of like some of my clients, you know, these new people that we're buying policies from, they can't make up their mind.
Really?
You know, we've had 3 policies that they signed the contract, we were ready to go, and they didn't perform. They reneged on the contract.
Really?
And we've never had this much of this happening. We've lost 3 policies that we signed contracts on. We've started to raise the money, and then they changed their mind. They're going to go out and shop it some more. So you don't sign a contract if you're still shopping your policy.
Yeah.
You know, a contract is supposed to mean, yes, I'm selling you the policy. Yes, we'll start on the paperwork. We'll, you know, exchange the ownership over to you. You know, we'll do all this. And we start working on, you know, all the contracts that we have to have. But it's not working that way right now.
Well, how does that work?
Unfortunately.
So if they sign the contract and all,
it doesn't mean anything. It always has. But we've got some people that are not reliable right now.
Wow.
You know, they're looking to make a killing on their policy, and it isn't going to happen with us.
My
word. We know what we can pay for the policy to make the client's money. And, if they get higher and higher, we're out. And, you know, I don't know how anybody can afford to give them that kind of money. I really don't.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So in a normal situation, when they sign the contract, what would normally happen at that
point? Well, we start preparing the papers, all the legal documents to make the sale. We have to have change of ownership. We have to have change of beneficiary. Everything has to be made out to Nevada Trust. The papers have to be sent to them. It takes, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to get all that done. But we start immediately. Once they sign a contract, we raise the money. You know, we go to our clients and say, here's the policy. This is how many months it is. This is what you're going to make. Do you want to do it? And once they say yes, we put all the money in escrow and we're ready to close. So then we're just waiting on all the documents to come to us. And usually it works perfectly, has all these years. It's just right now we've got some people that are not reliable that are selling their policies. I imagine they're from New Jersey. I mean, they've got to be from somewhere strange because their word isn't worth anything, I can tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they sign a contract. Then they go shop it. Then they go, oh, well, that's really not enough. I'm going to go see if I can get more.
So, but I don't even know how to ask this. So if they're under contract, though, if they were to sign another contract with somebody else, what would happen? They're under contract with you.
Well, so. One of the contracts is not valid, I can assure you.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can't have two contracts on one policy, on one life policy.
I didn't.
So,
I never.
We might as well just cancel it and tell them, you know, we're out.
I've never heard of such a thing. You've never even, I mean, this has never been a thing before.
It's never been a problem before. You know, they have 15 days after they sign a contract to reverse it out. And usually it never happens. Usually everything's fine. But now, they're not even reversing it out. They're just starting to shop it then. And we've never had that happen. In other words, they shouldn't have signed the contract. It didn't mean anything to them. They immediately said, let's see how much more we can get.
Yeah. My goodness. I mean, that just doesn't even make any sense. That's just the weirdest thing. That's just highly illogical. It's so bizarre.
And, you know, we pay more than probably anybody in the business.
Yeah.
You know, we're not lowballing them. We're not trying to steal the policy. You know, we pay as much as we can on every policy, whether they get paid, our clients get paid, and everybody's happy.
Hypothetically, I won't go down this road very far, but hypothetically, if they were to sign the contract, shop it, and then sign another contract with somebody else, and it was a really good policy, and you're like, we really, you know, really want this policy at the terms we agreed on, is there anything you could like legally do about that?
No, you know, if they renege on it and they cancel the deal, it's gone.
Wow. Well, yeah. I know we've talked about things before, like brokers trying to, you know, play games and get more for them and you know, demand more and then, you know, you
and
agree.
This is what happened to this. Another broker came in and told me he'd get them a lot more.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
A different broker came in and said, oh, I can get you more for that.
Wow. See, that's the thing. It's always it seems like most of the time it's and sometimes it may be the policyholder, but it seems like a lot of times it's the broker that's trying to play hardball.
The brokers have their own thing in mind. They're the ones getting paid the most money out of this other than the owner.
Yeah.
So the broker's always looking for a deal, trying to make more money, you know, get something going for themselves. And sometimes they pull it off.
Wow. Gosh, if there was only a way to eliminate the broker.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and lots of times our provider will say, I'm direct with this person. If they're direct, then we've got a lot better chance.
Oh, wow.
If there's not a broker between us and our provider. Mm-hmm. If the owner of the policy has his own broker, then you've got him to deal with. And he's out for the money.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But you can only get so much out of us, you know?
Sure. I mean, everybody's got to eat, but sometimes it seems like those brokers just, they try to play games, and then they go into an area. It's like, you know, you have certain parameters. There's enough for everybody, I guess. And this is like, you've got your parameters, whereas it's like, okay, if we go any further than this, then it's no longer a profitable investment. And so the brokers have to have some kind of knowledge that, you know, gosh, if we ask for too much, then we're going to lose the whole deal altogether. But they don't always seem to have that, it seems like.
No, they don't have that fear. they just go for broke. You know, we're going to get all we can. So sometimes that is a problem. Sometimes it isn't. We're still waiting on another policy that's matured, the Werther policy. It should be coming up any time. That's one that we just bought last year, and they have already passed away. So we've got some pretty good profit for everybody on that. That will be coming in probably in the next 2 weeks because the death certificate has already went to the insurance company.
Oh, wow. So the paperwork is already underway.
It's underway. It shouldn't take long. We'll get paid on that.
Wow. That's fantastic. I know sometimes in the past, there have been years where, you know, we've talked about, you know, these other competitors, they'll come in and they'll have these huge budgets and they'll bid on policies and kind of like basically blow their whole year's worth of budget, you know, in like the first quarter. But it seems like that's kind of faded away. And now there's this odd thing that's going on. So it just it may be a change in the times. It may be just the fact that, you know, other, you know, people are catching on to the fact that this is a profitable thing. It seems like more people.
Magna out of Austin, you know, usually first of the year, they outbid everybody. They'll come in, they'll buy everything they're going to buy between January and March. Mm. And we haven't even heard from them this year. So
oh, really?
They may be curled up in the corner or something. They may not be bidding on anything right now. You know, they took some losses over that other deal they pulled three or four years ago. So they may have changed the way they're doing business. I don't know. But they're a huge company, and usually this time of year they're busy buying policies. But we're not seeing a lot of policies. We're not seeing near as many as we need right now because we need a lot right now. And so, you know, we're looking at all of our providers. You know, what do you have? What can we bid on? What do you have in-house?
Yeah, and then you've always got, excuse me, then you've always got those that will try to slip in policies that aren't even kind of close to what you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, we have that happen all the time. They'll send us something that's 70 months.
Oh, geez.
It's something outrageous. And I guess they think maybe we're not paying attention. Maybe we're not looking, but we are. And they all know what we buy, that it has to be cancer. That has to be stage four. It has to be that they're not going to make it, you know? We don't want one that they're out playing golf and they said, well, you know, it's in remission, but it's probably going to come back. We don't have any assurance of that.
Yeah.
So it has to be that they're under treatment right now, not that they're going to go to Italy for a year.
Yeah, if they're out, you know, traveling the world, you're that's not really what you're looking for.
And then sometimes we have like Mr. Chen that time that it was his last hurrah. You know, he wanted to go and see these places one time before he passed away. And, you know, he didn't last a year after he came back, and we understand that. But these other deals where they're playing golf every day is not for us.
No, no. And it's just like, you know, even no matter what the situation is, it's very reassuring, I would imagine, to investors in the fact that you don't compromise with the types of policies that you're looking for. There's plenty of people that will buy any kind of policy. You know, you see the commercials on TV where the people are, you know, they're playing golf and they're playing with the grandkids and they're traveling and got the RV and they're all over the place and they're smiling and happy and touring the country and all that. And those are, there's a plenty plenty of other marketplace for that, but it seems like that no matter what the situation is, you're holding fast to the fact that you're looking for specific types of policies, not compromising, even though it might take a little bit longer to get policies. The fact that you do that means that people are going to get the right types of policies. And so I think that's probably important as well.
It is important. And, of course, you know, we check everything. We read their medical. You know, we had one the other day that they'd been at MD Anderson, and it gave, you know, all everything, the lab work, when they did the surgery, what the prognosis after surgery was, how long they thought he had to live. So it's important to read all this to find out everything you can about that person. And it's all right there, going to be in the medical records and the life expectancy.
Yeah. You know, and just the fact that if people have to wait a little bit longer for a good policy, it's worth it. And, you know, because the last thing you want to do is just, you know, just take any old policy just to take a policy and say that you've got some, because
That's not a good thing at all.
No, you could end up with some of those policies like you had several years ago, like many, many years ago, that, you know,
that's
they're
right.
96 and they're going to live to be 140. And it's just, you know, those
they're
are
going to outlive you and me. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're not going back to those old days. And so, you know,
and we've got a colon policy now that we're working on.
Uh-huh.
We don't know how it'll come out. But it's a $2 million policy. It's a lady has colon cancer. We'll know more about it next week. So we don't have all the documents yet. But if it looks good enough, we will be bidding it.
Wow. And so how much, let's see, once you get all that, how long does it take to kind of go through all the documentation?
A couple of days is all.
Okay. Well, that's pretty quick. I mean, there's
Then we'll go to market on it and see what the bidding looks like, and you know how much people are bidding on it, what it's worth.
Yeah. All right. So that's how you kind of judge. Okay. I would imagine probably when you go in, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just kind of what I picture in my brain when you kind of describe these things. I would imagine you go in, look at what the landscape is, what are other people buying, just to kind of get some market perspective. And then you look at the numbers, you run some figures, you look at, you know, any kind of premium that there may be, you look at all the documentation, and then you probably come up with a number that says, okay, this is our number where we're going to either, if we have it, fine, we're not going to go over this amount because it won't be profitable anymore. And then you kind of get into the bidding that way. Is that kind of how it goes? Or
that's right, because we know what the top is it. And at a certain point, we have to quit bidding. But sometimes there's a lot of room when they first go to market. And so we're bidding it daily or maybe every 2 days, you know, against the other people. And then it gets to a certain point, we go, this is all we can give. And we notify them, this is our final bid. We will not be going up over this. So that's how that works.
Okay. And I would imagine investors know that and they appreciate that, because you're looking for the types of policies that will be profitable for them. And so, you know,
that's right. It's got to be profitable for them. We know about what they've got to make. We know the minimum is 1% a month,
yeah.
And ours always pay more than that.
Yeah.
I say always. I think they always have.
Yeah. And I would imagine that's one of those things that, you know, if investors are, you know, gosh, it's been a while since you know, I've been in a policy or a new one has come along or something like that, they probably understand and appreciate the fact that, you know, look, we're not just going to buy any old policy and, you know, you may have it for, you know, 30 or 40 years. It's not, you know, they would probably be much more upset about that. So I would imagine appreciate the fact that you're still looking for, you know, the kinds of policies that'll actually be profitable for them. So, you know, the time that takes is not one of those things you can control, but which ones you buy and bid on, that is. So what about annuities?
Annuities are great right now. They're paying more on annuities than they've ever paid. This 14% bonus, I'm telling you, is to me, it's a great deal, because you get that 14% bonus up front They add it to your policy immediately. So you've already got the profit that first year plus whatever it makes. So, you know, it's a twofer. You get the bonus and then you get whatever it makes. Then the second and third year, if you put money in it again, you get that bonus for another 2 years. So it's a three-year bonus deal. So you can get 14% now, and then if you put money in next year, you get another 14 and another. And it's a great policy besides that. It's all tax deferred. You don't pay any taxes till you start taking it out. Your principal's always safe. It has that stopgap. If the market goes down, you don't lose anything. It just stands still. People can lose money in the stock market, but you won't on this because it has a stopgap. I mean, I don't know of a better way to make money than in an annuity. And, you know, I was looking up some of our annuities this week, and we even have annuities for people that are up to 85.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a doctor had called me this week, and he is 85. And I go, but what do I have for someone 85? And I got to looking it all up, and there's a couple of things that somebody 85 can get. They can do the fixed rate, which is like a CD, except it pays more. Or you can still do an index. They have a little five-year index for people 80 to 85.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just a five-year policy for them.
Well, I didn't know that. Is that?
Well, we never have thought about anyone 85 years old.
Wow.
And this doctor called me this week and was talking to me about it. And after I hung up, I go, what do I have for someone that age? You know, because most of our people are not 85.
Yeah.
So I got to looking it up. There's the five-year deal that's got good indexes. It's made good money. I looked it up to see what the profit was. It's got a good profit structure. And then if you want a fixed rate, you can do a 3 or 5 year on a fixed rate. So there's two things you can do for someone 85.
Wow. I wouldn't imagine. I would imagine probably by you know, 85, most people are maybe winding down their investments. But
yeah. Well, this doctor called me. He's retired, naturally. And his son is helping him with his investments. But he's the one that called me and talked to me about it.
Jeez. It seems like every time we talk, there's just this one little thing about annuities that just keeps making them better and better. I mean, in addition
it
to
does.
The big things, like the bonuses. I mean, that's huge.
That's 14% bonus. I don't think anybody is going to do better than that with an A-plus company. Now, you might could get a B-rated company, but, you know, you need to stick with A and A-plus. This company's been in business that we used. We used two of them. One of them has been in business over 100 years. It's worth $60 billion.
Oh, my word.
And that's sufficient. You know, you'll be safe with that. But you get a B-rated company and you don't know, because those B-rated companies, you have to look up their assets. You've got to look up their cash. You've got to look up their rating and all that. But if you stick with A and A plus, you know they're okay.
Wow. It's just annuities just, I don't know. They're more exciting, you know, for such a, I guess, a quote, boring investment. It's such an exciting thing because there's so much that just keeps getting better and better. And I think they went maybe underrated or maybe under the radar, under noticed.
I think they are underrated. And of course, remember, If the market falls, this doesn't fall. It just mirrors the stock market. It's not in the stock market. That's why it's safe. You can have good investments, good indexes, and not ever get in the stock market. And that's the way it ought to be because, you know, you don't want to lose money. And if you're in the stock market, you know, it went down a couple of times this week pretty bad.
Yeah.
And people lost money. But if they'd been in an index annuity, they wouldn't have lost a dime.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the ideal situation. People, I'm sure, in their brains, when they're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, what's the best investment where I can make the most money and lose, you know, the least? And so with an annuity, it's like it can go up, but it doesn't go down. And so it's like
that's right. And it's compound interest.
Yeah.
Compound interest. You've got the big bonus of 14%. You've got the stopgap where it never loses any money. I mean, I don't know of anything bad about an annuity. And the other thing is, you get to choose who you want to inherit it. It's a lot different than your will and all this. This is written in stone. Who gets it? Nobody can come in and say, oh, well, I'm supposed to get that. Whatever the beneficiary is, they are the one that gets the money.
But you can change it if something happens.
You can change it at any time. And what really bothers me, these customers I've had for 15 years, when they die, they think it's going to work one way, and it doesn't. They think that the child that they've left the money to will, you know, be prudent. They'll take money out every year out of the annuity. That's the way they set it up. But do you know what they do? They cash the annuity, and then it's gone in no time.
Oh, no.
Would you give an 18-year-old $300,000?
They couldn't handle it.
Question.
Yeah.
No, but there's people that will give them $300,000 because they want them to have it.
Oh,
and that 18-year-old will buy a new house, three cars, go to Vegas, and 14 months from now, it's gone.
Yep, yep. And I know, because I was one of those.
And they need a keeper. At 18, they need a keeper.
Yeah, somebody to watch over that, or, you know, maybe, you know, disperse it so much for, you know, each year for
That's
so many
exactly
years.
That's exactly right. So. And I would never leave it directly to an 18-year-old.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, the whole goal is to make sure that they're, you know, financially secure. So if you leave an annuity to a child or something, the point is so that they have a good foundation. It's not just for them to, hey, I'm going to be, you know, the favorite, you know, the favorite parent or the favorite, you know, uncle, or, you know, how people play favorites like that. It's not just to, hey, look me look like a hero and give you a ton of cash right up front. It's to make sure that they're set. And so, you know, setting them up like that so that they can be a little bit more responsible, it just protects them. And that's really the whole point of doing the whole investment to begin with. So it's nice to know that there's ways to set it up to protect, you know, people from blowing
the
whole thing.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't protect themselves.
No.
I mean, they don't have the mental acuity to do this. They need someone to look after their investments at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. They just don't have the type of, you know, maturity. At least most people don't. There are some, but
I don't know of any 18-year-old that's mature enough to handle cash.
No. No, it is way too tempting.
You give the cash and it's gone.
Yeah.
You put in an annuity where they have to take a payout, they'll be in a lot better shape.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done several annuities for grandparents, and they've left their children this money. And it certainly worked out because they were very cautious. They took that 10% every year, and they've never asked for more. And their annuities are still in force. They still have money in their annuities. So, you know, that's the way to do it. Have it where it's a payout and it's not a lump sum.
Yeah.
Don't give a 18-year-old a lump sum of money, I'm telling you.
No. You try to sit down and teach them how to budget, and that's going to be out the window. Forget it.
It's out the window as soon as they see the new Corvette.
Yeah. Yeah. They just don't have that kind of concept of, hey, here's a lump of cash. I need to make this work. I'm going to go ahead and self-budget, and I'll use this for this and this much for this, and I'll put this much away. They can't do it. So it's best to just do it for them. And that's one of the great things about an annuity is you can do that. You have the ability to set it up any way you want. Some people set it up for college education. I think it's one of the things that people
yes,
do.
And we've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the grandparents have been the ones done it. It was never the children's parents. And the grandparents are much more cautious, and they do a good job of it. And as I said, I've got a lot of people that have left their grandchildren, you know, annuities to help them get started. I think it's the best way. Don't give them a lump sum.
Yeah. And one of the great things, there's so many great things about an annuity, but one of the great things is that you don't really have to do anything. It doesn't take any kind of engagement. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night, wonder if anything is even left anymore. You pretty much just set it and forget it, set it up however you want, and that's how it's going to go. And so.
And what I love about annuities, the interest is locked in every year. Once a year, it locks in your interest at the end of the year, and it starts over again with the interest.
Yeah.
So it locks it in every year. It can't go away at the end of the year like it would if it's in the stock market. So you know what you've made at the end of every year. And so it accumulates all year long. So, I mean, I don't know of any reason why, if you're 50, 70, 75, 80, you don't have annuities.
Yeah.
Annuities are a good investment. They're solid. They'll always be there. And they've been around a long, long time.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, you start thinking about how long they have been around, and it's like, well, you know, I mean, the whole kind of, I guess it kind of goes back to, you know, those old boring things, like, you know, you used to, you know, have bonds, and then you used to have CDs, and then it's just like all these things just, it's like people all the time look for something that's, you know, shiny and new, and let's swing for the fences, and yeah, sometimes it works out, but, you know, if it doesn't, and a lot of times it doesn't, and it may not be something you can plan for, it's just all of a sudden you wake up, and boom, something happened with whatever crazy investment you might be in, and the whole thing's gone, and there's not really much you can do at that point once you lose everything. But with an annuity, you've got that stopgap. You've got the fact that, you know, there's your principal is protected. You always say that all the time, is, you know, make sure you protect your principal and be well diversified. So this
is, if you protect the principal, you'll always be all right.
Yeah.
If you don't protect your principal, you could get older and not have anything. Yeah. You know, I don't want that to happen to anybody. I want them to be conservative, be secure in their investments, and know that their money is safe.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I hear people asking the question all the time, well, gosh, you know, is it too late in life to start investing? With an annuity, I would, correct me if I say this the wrong way, but the later the better. If you're in your 50s or your 60s, this is a good time to start an annuity.
It's a perfect time. And of course, if you're young enough, and can handle your investments, the life settlement's perfect. But you might want to do both. You might want to have some money in life settlements and some in annuities. I did that for a guy this week. I put part of his money in annuities. I put the rest in life settlements because he's in his 60s. And I figured that was exactly right. And he had other obligations. That's why I did the annuities.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know, diversification, you've always said that was one. And if people just wanted to do an annuity, you can still be diversified because there's what, 14? Is there 14?
Like 14 different things you can put it in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a guy that has passed away now. He had a little boy late in life with a younger woman, and he wanted to be sure that little boy was taken care of. So he was like 70 when he put all of his money in annuities. And fixed it where the little boy would get it when he passed away, that the ex-wife wouldn't get it, and that the little boy would be protected. And so I'd forgot about that, but we did that annuity for that gentleman, for his little boy. His little boy was 6 years old when we did it.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
And it really was. It really helped him.
That's a good point, too. You kind of touched on something that I think people maybe it goes under the radar a little bit. But, you know, a lot of times when there is, you know, either a divorce or a fallout within the family, and all of a sudden, you know, who used to be, you know, your favorite relative is now all of a sudden your arch enemy. And so a lot of times things will change. And if that happens, you can change your annuity. But sometimes people won't. And then people will come in and they'll say, oh, well, gosh, you know, so-and-so wanted me to have this and they wanted me to have that. But with an annuity, it's done. It's set in stone. It's uncontestable. It is what it is. And you can't go to court and say, well, it shouldn't be this way because you're protected that way. So it's exactly.
That's right. Because remember, when you take out the annuity, you elect your beneficiaries right then.
Yeah.
So we know you were of sound mind when you bought that annuity.
Yeah.
So we know that everything you said is correct. That's the way it's going to be. And lots of times you have unethical relatives. Now, I hate to say that, but every once in a while there is someone that's unethical. And you need to protect yourself. And I think another thing is a trust.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
We recommend trust. We have a lawyer that we recommend for trust. They come out to Midland and do it right then and there. So you don't have to come to Dallas or Fort Worth or anywhere like that. They will come out there and they will do a trust.
So you make
one
easy.
Of my clients a year ago did a trust. I told him I thought he needed one because he had several members of family that had problems. And so he called our attorney. The attorney went out and talked to him. They did a trust. And he has recently passed away.
Hmm.
So it was the right thing to do. And of course, he didn't know he was going to pass away, but it was the thing to do because different family members had problems.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like once you get family that will maybe, as you say, maybe unethical, things can happen. And so to prevent any internal fighting, to prevent any name calling, and just making things a little bit more civil, making sure that things are set up that way does really protect everybody. I almost feel like I want to call the annuity the 14 investment because there's 14 options. You got 14% interest. It's just 14 seems to be the magic number for some reason. I just want to call it the 14 investment.
And you know, anybody that doesn't consider an investment in annuity with a 14% bonus, we need to have their head examined.
Yeah. I mean, that's just free money.
I mean, there's something wrong if they're not considering annuities with it paying a 14% bonus.
Yeah.
Because, you consider, that bonus, 14%. You know, you can put a lot of money in there and gather up a lot of money.
Yeah, quickly. I mean, my gosh. And, I mean, that's bonus money on top of anything. So pretend that the investment didn't make anything. You know you're not going to lose it. But say just 1 year, pretend it didn't make anything. You still get 14%. If it does make money, you get 14% plus your profit. It's just money
that's
on
right.
top of money.
And it's averaged 10% for the last 10 years. And I went back and looked at all the different policies that are available, and they all had good earnings. There was 1 year I saw one of them didn't make very much. It made 2 point something. But the rest of the time, it made a lot of money. So, it's really important to be diversified inside your annuity and all the different things you can do. So, you've got a lot of chances to make money on each individual item.
Let me just make sure I understand what you said. They average about 10%.
That's right. On top
of that would be your 14% bonus. Does that mean that we're looking at, on average, about 24%? Am I doing that the right way?
The first year, yes.
Wow.
The first year could be
24. Wow. And knowing that you're protected if something happens is just, that's incredible. Wow.
But it is. And, let's say it only made 7% a year. It's still a lot of money.
Yeah. You're looking at, 20%, 21%, something like that, just for nothing. And you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about, oh, my gosh, I get up tonight and, oh, boy, if something happens overseas, oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose everything. All that anxiety and all that worry is gone because it's just nothing to even – it's a solid conservative
investment. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be an older person, and you don't have to worry about it if you've got an annuity. It will make your money whether you're sitting home or you're in Italy or Europe or wherever. It just runs along smooth.
Yeah.
That's what I love about annuities. You don't have the ups and downs like you do in the stock market. You don't have ups and downs like you have in real estate right now. And what if you'd invested in some of these public companies right now that are going broke?
Oh, my goodness.
All these restaurants that are going broke that are public companies. It's just amazing, how many of them went broke and how many are closing stores. Look at Macy's. Macy's is a great company. And they're closing all these stores around me left and right.
Yeah. It's just,
and I'm shocked.
Stores you never thought would ever, you thought that, stores like Macy's and all these other ones, you thought, well, gosh, they're solid. They'll be around forever, but they're not.
And how about Party City?
Oh, yeah.
They've been in business 40 years and they're going out of business.
Yep.
So you can count that investment zero.
Yep.
So a lot of these companies, all these public companies, a lot of them are going under. So what if you'd invested in those stocks?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It says, I think we're seeing things that we never thought we would ever see before in the investment world, not only for, businesses closing we never thought would, but I think what that's doing is it's letting some of the dust settle and shining a light on what, no matter what type of market situation we've seen over the last, many, many years, things like annuities hold steady no matter what's happening. And so it's just, it, maybe it's just the fact that, you know, these other things, you know, are that we thought would always be here are not. And now nudies are becoming more and more attractive, and we're understanding that they can weather no matter what storm comes up. So,
well, what I love about nudies, you know, they don't invest in all these crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do all this stocks. They don't do all these investments in real estate. They're not doing, you know, Burger Kings. They're not doing all that.
Yeah.
And so it makes it a lot safer. And, of course, you know, the regulations on life insurance companies are tough. There's only certain things they can put money in. And that happened years and years ago. And I can remember years ago, they wouldn't even let them own their own office building.
Mm.
You know, so the regulations are strong. They're audited by state and federal twice a year.
Wow, that's pretty strict. That's good.
They're very strict, and they have rules on top of rules.
Wow, and it's all to protect the investor too. So
it is. It protects the policyholder and the investor.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. So yeah, if annuities, and it doesn't, you don't have to wait for an annuity to become available. You can just at any time get into an annuity, right?
And this week they've done something they've never done. Now they can issue an annuity in one day.
Really?
They've got a new system where, you know, usually we send it in and it takes 2 weeks to get an annuity issued because they have to check all the your finances. They have to check all the numbers, how much money you have available to pay your bills. I mean, they check everything. And now the new deal is they can issue in one day. How about that?
Wow, that's huge news.
Yeah. It's really new. I've never tried it, but we sent in an application this week, and then we found out about the new deal that they can issue immediately.
See? They just keep
never
getting
been
better.
Able to do that.
Wow.
It's better and better on what you can do and how fast you can do it, because it's always taken at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it would they'd mail it back to you.
I mean,
so they've streamlined it all of a sudden.
2 weeks wasn't bad. That was pretty great. But now, if you can do it within one day, it's like, oh, my word.
That's right. So if all of your papers are in order and you haven't made any mistakes on the application, you know, you're okay.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. It just, like I say, see, that's another, it's proof right there that annuities just keep getting, and it all slides under the radar. It's just like, oh, we quietly add this improvement, quietly add that improvement. And it's just, the more you find out, the more you dig into annuities, the better the investment seems. So it's just, it's a fantastic conservative option with very little effort as well. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Valentine's Day. You mentioned it to start with. Did you know that it was known as St. Valentine's Day? It was the Feast of St. Valentine. That's the way it started. It was a Christian feast honoring an early saint. And in the church, he was called Valentinius.
Oh.
And now we have it just Valentine's Day, but it started out as St. Valentine's Day.
Hmm. I didn't know. I didn't know it was
that?
A feast either. That was
That's
different.
That's right. It was a feast. But let's talk about what the most popular thing to spend money on. Which one is the most popular?
I'm going to guess flowers. No, candy.
Candy. 52% candy.
Really?
Yes. Greeting cards, 44%. Flowers, 35%. Evening out is 34%.
Really?
And jewelry, what do you think they will spend this year on jewelry?
I'm embarrassed to guess. What is it?
$3.9 billion.
No, I was
billion.
Gonna, I
was 3.9 billion.
I thought if I guess 100 million, that's going to sound silly, but it blew that out of the water. Wow.
The evening out is 3.5 billion.
Really?
Flowers are 1.9 billion.
Wow.
Candy is 1.8 billion.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
I'm just the money that goes I'm shocked.
It's mind-boggling.
It is.
Mind-boggling.
Ugh.
And I was thinking about all the things that we should do on Valentine's Day, and I go, okay, Sherry's Berries maybe, assorted candy, and lingerie. How many men have given their wife lingerie in the last 20 years?
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's something when you're dating, yes, but usually that kind of like fades away. That's a great idea.
That's right. So I thought about that. And then I go, how about a luxury night at a hotel?
Oh, now that's a good idea. That's genius.
How about the resort in Wimberley, Texas?
Oh,
that
yeah.
would be really, really nice.
Ooh.
Or a moonlight ride on Lake Austin.
Ooh, now that's brilliant. Oh, I like that.
How about a spa for two?
Mm-hmm. I'll write that down.
A spa day for...
That's brilliant.
They have spas for two. And Fort Worth. You know, you can come to Fort Worth. I talk about it all the time. It's one of my favorite places. And the new hotel downtown Fort Worth, everything is leather. I mean, they have a fire plug in the middle. It used to be an old firehouse. I mean, there's so many things
really?
In Fort Worth. When they do it right.
Wait.
They spent millions on that hotel.
What's that one called? I need to write that down. Which one?
I don't even remember the name. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
but
all
right. It's just finished.
Wow.
And I should have gotten the name. I didn't even remember to write it down, the name. But it's downtown Fort Worth. It's got the fire plug in the middle. It's got everything is leather. I mean, it is elegant. The restaurant is fabulous. It's already getting all these awards, and it's only been open a few weeks.
Oh, wow. I'm writing all this
yes.
down. So I'll be making phone calls here in a little while.
Oh, that's wow. right. And so this would be the perfect thing. Now, if you don't want to go to Fort Worth and go to the stockyards, go to all the Western stores, let's take you over to Grapevine. You know, Grapevine has got everything in the world. Grapevine is a destination place also.
Yeah,
it has become. It's got all the little shops downtown. It's got so many things you can do in Grapevine. You could spend a week in Grapevine, Texas.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Easily. And it's got wonderful hotels there also, but not the same as Fort Worth. You know, they've got the theater there. You can go. They've got the little show on Saturday nights at the theater. I've been there many, many times. They have all these singing groups that come in, and they're great. I mean, they can flat sing. So I love to do that. They've got the theater there. You can go and see a play. I mean, there's so many things to do. And restaurants, one of my favorite steakhouses is there. They've got like three AAA steakhouses there.
Oh, wow.
So there's so many things there to do. I would recommend Grapevine and Fort Worth. If you can't come to Fort Worth, you better put it on your radar and do it later in the year. But you can go to Lake Austin. There's so many things to do on Lake Austin. The Moonlight Ride, you can stay on either side of Lake Austin. There's a lot of things to do in Austin, Texas. And, of course, Wimberley has, you know, the resort, a beautiful resort there. So I'd say those are some things the wife would really enjoy.
Yeah. Gosh, it's been so long since we've been over there. It's
yeah, and if none of those work, get the fireplace going, make her some steaks, and have candlelight dinner in front of the fireplace.
See, now these are the kinds of things that we need to be reminded of because we forget.
It really is. I mean, a candlelight dinner for two in front of the fireplace would really be sexy.
Yeah, it would. Wow, that's a great idea.
You know, and I thought about that. The spa for two would be fabulous.
Yeah, it would. I had never thought about that before.
And then the jewelry.
Yes.
Okay, jewelry is wonderful. It's kind of personal lots of times for women, but the one thing would be a necklace with the children or the grandchildren's initials on it in diamonds. Naturally,
ooh,
I would say in diamonds.
Good idea.
Yeah. or a bracelet that says I love you on it. And diamonds, naturally.
Engraving is always great. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I love engraving on things. Oh, wow, I do. And they've got all kinds of wonderful things that you can have made up if you can't find the exact thing that you want to give.
My word, yeah.
And another thing, maybe your wife has an old wedding ring that's old, that it's not as nice as they make nowadays. What if you gave her a new wedding ring with some nice diamonds in it?
Ooh, see, now that's a good idea. That's
it
a
is.
Really good idea.
And a woman would never ask for a new wedding ring.
That, oh, my
gosh,
she would
probably
no.
never say that. But it would be important. It'd be very beautiful. Or a ring with all the birthstones of all the children.
That's brilliant. See, look at this. My gosh, I've got a whole page worth of ideas right now. Wow.
Well, there's just so many things you should do for a wife at this age. And, you know, it tells you that you love her, that you want to give her something really nice.
Yeah.
You know, don't give her some old junk.
Yeah.
They're not going to use junk. Do not give her anything in the kitchen.
No, no.
One year, my family thought that I wanted all this stuff for the kitchen. They gave me all this stuff for the kitchen on Christmas. I hated it. I did not want that. I wanted clothes. I wanted something pretty.
Yeah.
You know, give me something really elegant.
No vacuum cleaners.
I did not
cleaners.
Want. Yeah, that's it's that vacuum cleaner problem.
Yeah.
Don't give a woman anything useful.
No.
They did not want useful. They want something elegant, something they would not buy for themselves, something pretty.
Yeah. if it has a utility purpose, no. Stay away.
That's a no-no. They know that you don't really care if you give them a vacuum cleaner or you give them a KitchenAid product.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
That's not what they want. They want something they would not buy for themselves.
Yes. Something, I mean, just so here's the thing. Valentine's Day is on Friday, so this might be a great opportunity to take a, maybe not just one night, but maybe make it like a long weekend getaway or,
yes,
know, something
I think
like that
would be wonderful. A long weekend would be, and you've got time to make the reservations.
Yeah.
You know, we're giving you a week's notice where you can get this done right, take her away. To one of the resorts, Wimberley, Lake Austin, or Fort Worth.
Yes, plenty of destinations.
Downtown Fort Worth. Look up new hotel, downtown Fort Worth.
With the...
It's a fabulous place, and I don't know why I cannot remember the name of it. I should have looked it up because I've been studying it. I've looked at all the pictures of it. It's a fabulous place.
Yeah, and it's been so, I don't know, maybe we'll go to like San Antonio all the time, but it's been so long since we've actually been to Fort Worth. This is a great,
yeah, and you know, and you need
new.
That weekend to go to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But there's so many things to do in Fort Worth, and we've also got all the museums there. You know, we've got fabulous museums. The Amon Carter Museum, the Cowgirl Hall of Fame is there. I mean, there's a lot of things in Fort Worth that people don't realize you can do. And then you go to the stockyards or the rodeo. You know, the rodeo's been going on in Fort Worth. Everybody says, well, the tickets are a little pricey this year. But, you know, they've got that new place to have it. So that's why things cost a lot more than when we just had it in a little small coliseum.
Yeah. I mean, it's a worthwhile improvement, and so...
It's really a worthwhile improvement. All the shops down there are wonderful. And you know, there's just so many wonderful restaurants there. The little hotel in the corner, that has got a wonderful steakhouse. I've eaten there many, many times. I've never had a bad meal there. But you're going to want to eat at the new hotel downtown.
Yeah.
Because it is fabulous. I mean, the reviews are fabulous. It's only been open a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I should have written down the name, and I'm sorry I didn't.
It's all right. I got enough to go on here. So
Definitely. You got enough to go on?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But
and people have plenty of time, too, so don't mess this up.
Don't mess it up, guys. Don't wait till the last second and say, oh, well, I couldn't get reservations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't give us that.
Yeah.
I know you can get reservations by doing it early. And being alone, that's pretty romantic.
Yeah.
Because every day you're busy, you're out doing things, you're with other people all the time. And remember, she cooks, she cleans, she does all this, and she deserves a weekend of sheer luxury.
Yes. And when you're at dinner, put your phone down.
That's right. Put the phone down and talk to her.
Yeah.
Actually, talk to her.
Yeah. Have some conversation.
Have a conversation, you know? And dress up a little bit.
I've seen people literally at date night at a restaurant, and they'll talk to each other over text, and they're at the same table. I've seen it
now
before.
That's bad. That tells you they do not communicate well.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, if you're doing that. In fact, put the phone up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt to put the phone up.
That's not a bad idea.
Put it up for a couple of hours at least.
Yeah. You won't melt. The world won't blow up. It'll be okay.
And, because you've got Saturday night, sleep late on Sunday, have breakfast in bed.
Yes. Great idea. Oh, I
love having breakfast in bed at a hotel.
Yeah.
And, room service is fabulous. And you can have Eggs Benedict. There's just so many elegant things you can have for breakfast.
See, gift ideas, this is where you shine. This is like the... This is brilliant. I have a whole page of ideas here, and I would have never thought of any of them. So this
and you
is
wouldn't
great.
Have thought of any of them. Well, most men wouldn't. That's why I gave you all these ideas to get the night started.
Nice. Well, we'll take it from there.
Okay.
This is Your Money with Faye Beck, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, real quick, before I run and make some reservations with a life settlement, there are two risks that people need to know about. What's the first?
The biggest risk would be it could go over. You might have to pay premiums, so you need to know that. But we give you all that information before you settle for the policy. We always put that out to you in advance, so you know what the premiums are, you know what your profit is. So that's not a big worry. The other thing is, it's not liquid till it matures. Remember that. It is not liquid till it matures.
Okay. And people do need to be accredited in order to do
a life settlement. You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that is without your home.
Okay.
The minimum investment on a life settlement is $100,000.
Okay. If new investors are kind of comparing the two, a life or a annuity is not quite as strict for qualifications.
No, the requirements are not as strict. You must have money to pay your bills every month. They're going to look at what your income is, what you've got in savings, and what you're going to invest.
Perfect. So for anybody that has any questions, even if they're not ready to get started, they just want some more information, they want to ask some specific questions, maybe things that we didn't cover specific to them, they can go ahead, call, make an appointment. And so one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.